does not last. It's not surpassed.
There used to be a newspaper.
The Butt Podcast. Not outclassed. Wonders en masse.
Get it unleashed, everyone, up to the end of the game.
The Butt Podcast.
To the Buff Podcast, sponsored by Cars Pasties. My name's Mark Isles, and I'm the chief football writer of the Bolton News. This is episode 96 of your weekly Wanderers pick and mix, so please use the scoops provided. Coming up, we examine one of the worst injury lists in living memory. We look back at defeat against Wickham and a wonderful win against Doncaster Rovers. And we'll hear from ex-Wanderers favourite Mark Patterson talking about his new book, Old School. But first, stuff that barely counts as news. Not the headlines at the University of Bolton Stadium this week. Ian Evatt denies playing a real-life version of Squid Game with his players as squad numbers continue to fall suspiciously. Bolton fan on social media names Nicky Hunt as the 24th different legend who could still do a job. After claiming his Doncaster Rovers side should have been 3-0 up before half-time at Bolton on Tuesday night, Richie Wellens has been given a blanket and a warm meal. And finally, Elias Kachunga could be forced to change his name to Elias Kachunga to make stadium announcers feel better about themselves. And now back to the show. Joining me this week, my podcast co-host and a man who does not like mornings, is Mr. Henry Hewitt, live from London. How you doing, mate?
I'm good. Yeah, if you hear Chaz and Dave or some, I don't know, market style seller in the background, that explains what's happening there. But I'm currently sat in a hotel in London, glamorous surroundings of the Premier Inn at Euston. No expense spared.
I know it well.
But no, I'm all good, thank you. How are you? How are you feeling? Because you've been poorly, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, just said off air there. I have to be honest. I think I was out of it Monday to Wednesday last week. I have very little recollection of the Stockport game, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
I have very little recollection of any of the work I did at the start of last week. I have very little recollection of last week's podcast, really, and recording it, particularly as I seem to have beaten you despite Danny Shittu, despite all this. But now top notch, I'm actually back in the wide world as of today. So happy days. We can you know, carry on as normal now.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Yes. Well, it's good to be back, and it's good to be back on a winning week as well, because we'll look past Wickham, because it was a bit dull, all things considered. But Tuesday night against Doncaster, what a game that was.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't manage to go, but my dad went and I spoke to him about it, and he said, he admitted that Doncaster were a poor team.
They were.
But, we'll look past that. But no, it's good to get. They were just positives, weren't they? Dial scoring again, Kachunga getting his first league goal, keeping another clean sheet. So that's 2 in 3 now in the league anyway. All good.
Yeah, I mean, people will look at the fact that Doncaster are second bottom of the table. People say there was a player sent off just before half-time, which I thought was 100% the correct course of action, by the way. I hate those fouls that, you know, take one for the team type of jobs. It seems...
Yeah,
I'm really surprised they've not clamped down on those sort of ones earlier, because there's absolutely no intent to play the ball there. So why shouldn't that be a red card? Am I right?
Yeah, no, I've got to agree with you. And I think, I only saw it on the highlights afterwards. But I think, you know, going down the back of his ankle like that, that could do some real damage to someone. And I get it when it's in the middle of the park and it's like a body check, you know, when they're on the break. Sometimes you've got to accept that, and that's a yellow card. But when it's from behind and down the back, that's, you know, I thought we left that behind in the 70s and 80s.
It's reckless. I think that the referees use the word reckless, don't they? So if you're off your feet, if you're not in control, which he wasn't in control, that was a bad challenge on Afellayan. Also, the yellow card for Afellayan means he's going to be suspended for the Cheltenham game. Did you see the actual incident that he got booked for?
Yes, I saw it on Twitter afterwards. I mean, any week where we could do without a suspension, this is it. And it was a, I don't know, to me, again, I wasn't in the stadium, you weren't in the stadium, but looking at it from that angle, it seemed very soft.
From the angle I was looking at, and from Derek's commentary as well, that he went for the ball, he won the ball. Seems really harsh to give him the yellow. Unfortunately, there's no appeal process for yellow cards, or else otherwise, they'd be there all day, basically, with people bickering over cautions, wouldn't they? But I mean, it doesn't help Bolton. You're going into the weekend against Cheltenham, and just to reel off some of the players that are missing, you've got Sheehan out, you've got Andy Tutt out. We've got Geth Jones out, MJ Williams out, Lloyd Isgrove picked up an injury against Doncaster, he's out. Who else am I missing? Bakayoko, he's out. Dapo's obviously suspended. That's seven players there. Am I missing anybody?
I can't think of, yeah, MJ
I
Williams.
mean,
Yeah, I can't think of anyone else other
I
than
counted. I mean,
those.
you're talking about 12 first-team players they've got now for the weekend. And they've made the best of it. There's no doubt about it against Doncaster. I mean, Liam Gordon as a right back, you would never in a million years have picked that one out before the game, yet it worked. George Johnson came on second half, well, came on for Isgrove and second half sat in as a holding midfielder. I thought he was excellent. I thought that to me looks like an option for going forward, that he could be the guy that sits in and replaces MJ Williams. So in a weird kind of way, it has fallen quite well. But I mean, number one, they obviously can't get any more injuries. But number two, how long can that last?
This weekend, we definitely can't. I don't know if anyone's on four bookings.
No.
Actually, was it?
It's at the cut-off point.
Yeah.
That was the annoying thing. The
Yeah.
cut-off point was the end of that game. So if Afellain had got through 90 minutes, he wouldn't have been suspended. So it was double whammy,
Yeah.
really.
In terms of injuries, then, yeah, we definitely. I know the manager joked about wrapping him in cotton wool, but I think he was half saying a half truth there because we definitely can't afford any injuries.
No, absolutely. I mean, the one big bonus I think at the minute is that Elias Kachunga seems to be coming into some sort of form. He's scored three goals in his last five games now for Bolton, and I think is he starting to change minds, do you think? Because a few people had written him off, maybe said he didn't bring enough to the team, but I think he's starting to grow on me now.
Yeah, well, he said, didn't he, that he hadn't had a pre-season really, so it was going to take him a bit of time to bed in. And yeah, I like Kachunga, and I've said before he needs to shoot more. So if he's doing that now, like you saw against Stockport, he had that shot. Whereas a few weeks ago, I think he would have just controlled it, tried to hold it up and pass it on. So yeah, if he can have get in the position he did the other night, and he can have more shots, then I mean that's the one thing. If it's the same with Doyle, people write him off. He's now scored, two in his last three games, whatever it is, and suddenly people are starting to warm to him again. And if he scores at the weekend, they will. So I think that's the thing, especially for strikers. If you're scoring goals or creating chances, people warm to you again.
Yeah, I mean, I never got the anti Owen Doyle stuff. He's actually scored in his last three starts, to be fair, against Rochdale and then Stockport
Oh,
and
yeah.
Doncaster. So no, I mean, Doyle, he needs the right service. Nobody else in that Bolton team would have scored the goal he did against Doncaster. Again, going back, it was Kachunga. I think he was going for goal. I think he kind of turned on the edge of the box trying to drive a shot in at goal. But Doyle was right on the shoulder, arguably offside. I think a couple of my pals in the press box texted me at the time just to say, "Hey, did you get a better look at that on iFollow? Because I think he was offside." I'd say it's very marginal, but it's nice that it's actually falling for Bolton for a change, that sort of decision. So yeah, but that's where Doyle wants to play. He wants to be right on the edge. He wants to be sniffing out those chances. And if you can get the ball in the right areas for him, he's going to score goals. He'll do them in patches. He's done that his entire career. I get that. And it can be quite frustrating when he's in one of those patches where it's not going in for him. But hopefully, fingers crossed now, he's over that calf injury. He had the injection, didn't he? The painkiller injection to get clear of that. They managed to bring him off. They managed to bring off Kieran Lee as well in the second half against Doncaster whilst they were absolutely in cruise control. That was quite big as well because it just means that it just takes the edge off a little bit for the Cheltenham game at the weekend. But it really is last man standing now at the minute, isn't it, mate?
yeah, they can't afford any more injuries, or else it'd be me and you warming up. On the, we joked on Twitter this week, but again, half truth. I think Jack Dearden's digging out his boots as well. So, you know, I would say to anyone, whoever you are watching the game on Saturday, bring your boots, you might get a game.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jack Dearden's been threatened to dig his boots out now for about 67 years. I don't think the studs that his boots carry now, they're sharpened and made of titanium. I don't think, I think they were the actual rivets from the Titanic were his studs. Stewart's inquiry about those ones before he gets on the pitch, but never mind. Right, do you fancy a bit of correspondence?
Oh, yes.
Is that Philip Moraish? Come on, Sandy Livers! Oh, Sandy Livers! Come on,
Sandy Livers! Emails, actually. Yeah, the letters keep on coming in. I'll give you out the email address again in a moment, but we have had another really exciting shirt spotting. Well, it's not so much a shirt spotting as a shirt wearing, but I'll explain that in a second. Dear Mark and Henry, I've been listening to The Buff since the very first episode when you had Tom and cameraman Dave. I wonder what happened to those two. And I never miss it. Cameraman Dave's probably just wandering about the studios at Bolton FM just looking for something to do, to be honest. We never told him we're not going there anymore.
He doesn't even know COVID happened.
No, he doesn't know. He's been hermetically sealed in that studio for forever. He could be quite an interesting test case, actually, if Track and Trace want to talk to him. I've got his phone number somewhere. The reason is that I live in Ontario in Canada, and listening to you guys talk about what's going on at the Wanderers makes me feel a bit closer to home. You asked for the weirdest place to see a Bolton Wanderers shirt, Well, how about in the middle of Niagara Falls for the Canada Day celebrations? That's pretty weird. My wife Annie, and my young daughter Amy, with a double E, all wore our Bolton Wanderers shirts the last time we went to the Falls in 2019, see picture. I have to be honest, the picture did not load on my email, but never mind. I will trust you there, Michael. Hope you guys are well and not eating too many Cars pasties, Michael Walmersley. Thank you very much, Michael. Middle of Niagara Falls is a fairly bizarre place to see a Bolton Wanderers shirt, let's be honest.
It is, yeah. And one thing I've got to say about that email, though, is that you can never eat too many Cars pasties.
No. I mean, you probably could do if you're in the middle of Niagara Falls. I think it would be a bit of a hazard, actually, if you were to get too weighed down. Mm-hmm. But anyway. Second email, and this one might open up a can of worms. I'm pretty sure there'll be a few people with some suggestions. So here goes. A few years back, there was talk of a Bolton Wanderers film called Wartime Wanderers, which apparently had Bradley Walsh and Paul Nichols, brackets from EastEnders, casting parts playing the Bolton Wanderers players of the time. I don't know what happened to it, but other than old articles from the Bolton Evening News, I can find no trace of it. I'll tell you in a minute what happened to it. It got me wondering, he says, playing on words with an A, about whether Hollywood has ever thought about putting the club's story on the silver screen. Surely some of the shenanigans that have gone on in the past few years would be more far-fetched than the best paid scriptwriter could ever dream of. I wouldn't disagree there. I don't know who'd play you, Mark, but can I suggest Jason Alexander from Seinfeld, who I think would get your hello from the opening gambit of The Buff down to a T. Suggestions on a postcard for the other key roles in the film. Yours faithfully, John Winston. Right, let me tackle those points in order. Firstly, Wartime Wanderers never got funded, never got off the ground. Unfortunately, it is in production limbo and will remain so until somebody pays for it. Not a cheap gig. I like playing words, wandering. That's the second one. Jason Alexander, George Costanza? Do I like that? I'm not sure I like that. That's it's one up on Danny DeVito. I think somebody once mentioned Danny DeVito, who's about 80 now. I'm not getting involved. I don't want to be in this film if that's gonna be my casting. Right. Okay. Let's fill some key roles here, Henry. Who plays He Who Shall Not Be Named and his son?
Oh, I think, you know what? I always thought Lee Anderson looked a bit like a young Timothy Spall. So maybe Timothy Spall, you just sort of grease his hair up a little bit. Just make him a bit more greasy. He could play Ken, I guess.
That would be a great... Actually, that would be brilliant. You could CGI, like, get like, the old Alfieda Zane pet stuff and get Timothy Spall when he's playing Barry in Alfieda Zane pet.
Yeah.
And then just put a ponytail on him. Oh, I'm sure the computer graphics would manage it. That would be wonderful casting. Phil Parkinson. I wonder who could carry off Phil Parkinson. Yeah, you need somebody pragmatic, straight-laced. Maybe a Michael Sheen or something like that, who's used to these kind of football documentary type things.
Yeah, from Brian Clough to Phil Parkinson.
I think he could do that. He's maybe not slim enough for that, though.
Of course, yeah. I guess, you know, bald actor for Keith Hill could be... you know, I'm in London, it could be... what's he called from EastEnders, the famous bald one?
Who's Sean Williamson?
Phil Mitchell.
Do you know, as soon as you said that, Keith Allen sprang to mind. He of Trainspotting.
Keith Allen, yeah.
Yeah, I think he'd be perfect for Keith Hill. And whether he could do a Bolton accent remains to be seen, but that'd be perfect.
Yeah. Well, Sean Williamson could play Ken, I guess. He's got a touch of Ken about him.
That would be legendary.
Yeah, if you make him into a comedy character, like a bumbling idiot, then get Sean Williamson to play him.
I think if we stay quite close to the script and to the truth, anything could happen in the wonderful world of Hollywood. Right, I want your suggestions, not only for the Andersons, not only for Parkinson, but for the key players as well. How about David Wheater? How about Jason Lowe? How about Gary O'Neill? How about Remy Matthews? Some of the fans? How about that strange fella, Lawrence Bassini? I think if we were looking at Barry from EastEnders, he could surely do a Lawrence Bassini. Surely.
He could, yeah.
Whether he's up for full frontal nudity or not, we don't know, though. Let's be honest.
Let's hope he's not.
We'll have to have a word with his agent and to see what type of film we're making here. But anyway, yes, I want your cast lists. I want to know who would... Even down to me and Henry, who's going to play us in the film? And we could be, it'd be like the Wonder Years where you could just like narrate it. That would be the best thing for me. I would just like to be the voice over the top of the trailer. That'd be perfect for me.
We could. Well, I've been told a lot like Tyrone from Corrie, so I guess he could play me.
Well, he went to school with my brother, so I'm sure I'd be able to track him down. He'd be fine.
Oh.
Actually, what am I talking about? I'm pretty sure you'll be able to find him as well, to be fair.
Yeah, well, my wife does work on Corrie, so I'll deal with that one.
You deal with that one. That's going to be easier for you. I'll get going with Barry from EastEnders, all right?
Yeah, okay, deal.
Right, let's have a little bit of Cars Pasties advertising action. A note from our podcast sponsors, in fact. You can order delicious Cars Pasties anywhere in the country. Straight to your door. You don't have to be in Bolton. If you're sat on the south coast thinking, do you know what I'd really fancy? A Cars pasty or some sausage rolls. And do you know what? They launched a new pasty this week, chicken ham and leek, and I'm desperate to try it.
Ooh.
I'm really hoping they're on sale at the stadium. I do fancy that one. Anyway, so if you go to www.carspasties.co.uk and put in the voucher code BUFF10, BUFF10, up to November the 27th, you can get 10% off. There may be another voucher code we give you next week that it continues that, but at the moment it's up to November 27th. Either way, just order some Cars Pasties. They'd be lovely. Fantastic. I can't think of a better way to celebrate Christmas. We're not having a turkey this year. We're just going to have several Cars Pasties all glued together in the shape of a bird.
Oh, that sounds much better.
It does, it does. Henry, this is a serious news podcast. Can you bring me some headlines, please?
News. First one, Ian Everts has appealed for patience from fans. I think most fans do accept that with 2.6 million players out injured at the moment.
I thought you were going to start going on about debt then. I was going to say, oh, no, not this morning. Not this morning.
With a lot of players injured, I think we'll give him the benefit of the doubt of this one. But he did just come out and say we don't need the criticism at the moment. What do you think? Do you agree?
Well, firstly, I will say that Ian Everett has not been criticised, I would say, 10% of some of the other managers. He hasn't got to the levels. If you had a big meter where the bottom is Bruce Rioch, right, and then the other side is, let's say, Dougie Friedman.
It'd be Gary Megson, I think.
Gary Megson. You would be at the other end of the scale. I mean, Ian Everett probably got to about halfway last season when things were really going badly, but he never got as far as Dougie or Gary Megson or even Keith Hill, I don't think.
No.
Because Keith Hill, I think it became a bit personal with him. I think there was an extra edge to the criticism there. I think Ian Everett hasn't actually had that degree of criticism. Now he's way back down there with the Colin Todds. He's nowhere near. He's absolutely miles away. Even, you know, Owen Coyle, just really hasn't had a great deal. And so it's a bit strange, but I understand what he's kind of trying to do. He's trying to manufacture a bit of an edge. I think that's what he's going to try and do with his players. He's more about, he's saying things not necessarily for the fans' purpose or even for his own purpose, actually for his players' purpose. He's trying to generate some degree of siege mentality in there so that he feels that there's you know, something for the players to prove, because he's got to get an extra 10% out of the ones that he's got. He's lost some of his best players. And I think him coming out and addressing criticism in the public way he has done has brought it into the arena so that he can actually use that now with his players and say, well, listen, you know, these guys are writing you off. These guys don't think you're going to get a result against Cheltenham. Go out there and show them to do it. So I think sometimes you've got to accept that there's maybe a bit of psychology at play.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I think, there has been a bit of criticism, but you're naturally going to get that. If you look at our results since that Shrewsbury game at the start of October, the results we've had more defeats than wins. But, you know, bearing in mind we have played some good teams, but if he's using it to try and get the players G'd up a bit, then great stuff. But it's how it is. But I think you're right. Overall, Ian Everett has got a lot of credit in the bank. And I think you get the odd person on Twitter saying that he needs to leave. But I think the vast majority are happy with what we've got and the direction we're going in.
Yeah, I've got to the conclusion that no matter who you are, and no matter what you do, there is somebody on Twitter who thinks you're the worst in the world at it and that you should instantly resign and yada, yada, yada. Because I think people just take up that contrary position instantly. I've said this before on the podcast. I'm sure people are overtly negative so that somewhere down the line, when things inevitably do, as they do with football, managers leave, they can turn around and say, hey, I was right back in, you know, August 2018 when I said that, you know, Ian Everett should leave. It's pointless. Just live in the moment. I think there's just cause to criticise the performance against Stockport, for example. They were bilge. They played very, very poorly. You cannot escape or even, you know, begin to say that they shouldn't be criticised for that performance. However, when you move on and you take everything else into context as far as the league performance or how much they've invested in the squad and all that kind of thing, I think they are roughly where I expected them to be. I didn't expect them to be in the top six. I don't still expect them to be in top six at the end of the season, if I'm being honest. And I said that at the very beginning of the season as well. I thought they'd do tremendously well to get up there. So I think they're on par at the minute. I don't think there's a great deal to be absolutely steaming angry about.
Yeah, I agree. I thought we said on the podcast mid table we where we are, and obviously if you finish mid table, you're going to have poor patches and you're going to have good patches. That's how it works. You know you're not going to win every game. So I think at the moment the FA Cup was a big disappointment. Of course it was. So I think where we are at the moment, I think you take a few defeats on the chin, but you know that I don't think we'll be in a relegation battle. We've got some favourable matches coming up before Christmas and around Christmas. So, you know, we could find ourselves in this position heading into January. And then there is a bit of optimism because we're going to sign some players. And then you never know. But I think on the whole, I think I agree with you. I think mid-table, we are where we are. Let's hope we can go through in the Papa John's as well and give it that a bit of a go.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a bit, though. I will say, though, the standard of Doncaster, the standard of Crewe, it makes you think there is no way Bolton are going to be in a relegation battle. You know, they're the next strata of teams. And I think they're probably, we'll see in the next couple of weeks when we get, you know, against the Cheltenhams and the Fleetwoods and that kind of thing, just how much better or, you know, on par Bolton are with that sort of team. But I think if you're comparing them against the top level teams at the minute, they've got some way to go. That might get addressed in January. We might have a completely different discussion in January. But for now, I think we've just got to accept it's going to be up and down and you take it on the chin. Give us another headline, Henry.
Well, we touched on this earlier and it's George Thomason. So he's had to be patient and it looks like now he's going to get a run in the team. And, you know, we hear stories throughout football, old footballers who are talking on podcasts now and saying that the reason they got their first run in a side or their debuts or whatever is because of a lucky situation. So do you think Thomason can make the best of this bad situation we're in at the moment?
It's funny how opportunities arise, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure that every single player has got a story about how he first got into the team because you always need somebody not playing as well or you need somebody to get injured. And George, you know, he played quite a bit, didn't he, in League Two last season. Came in at that Port Vale game. His debut was 6-3 at home to Port Vale. I mean, that was a nightmarish debut to get, and people were writing him off left, right and centre, saying he wasn't good enough for this level, and blah, blah, blah. He changed minds very quickly, didn't he? And he had a very, very decent season last year. He has moved on a level now, I think. You know, he had to be patient for his place in the team this season. But this run of games now that he's going to have up to Christmas could be the making of him. And hopefully, you know, if he gets enough game time, if he can use this time well, he can be, you know, a valid first team option in, you know, January beyond. And it might just save Bolton a few bob because, I mean, to replace a player or to add another player like him would cost a fair whack. Maybe they can use that to bring in the alternative Owen Doyle that we've been hankering after.
Yeah, I think Thomason's still a bit raw. We've seen that. He obviously stopped Port at home. He gave the ball it was a poor pass. And then I went to the Stockport away game and there was a few times there where he gave the ball away. So it is still a bit raw, but I think there's enough there for me to say he's going to be a good player. It's good that we've got him. So if he can get that run in the game now, his confidence goes up and gets used to the players around him and where they're going to be on the pitch. That's great. And I think he's shown enough glimpses for me that he is going to be a decent player. So, it's competition. And you think of in recent weeks, if you look at our midfield, obviously Sarcevic's gone. Sheehan's out until next season now. MJ Williams is currently out. So There's midfield spots that need filling. So if we've got him who's ready to come in, then great.
I mean, I think there's going to be signings made in January. But, I mean, Ian Everett's saying don't panic buy. I mean, how many players do you think we do need now in January? I mean, if you're going out with the shopping list now, how many items are on there?
I think he's right to not panic buy. I think the way the club are at the moment, they don't seem like a club that's going to panic buy. It seems like there's a plan there. Whereas under the Timothy Spall regime, it was just wait till the last day of a deadline and see what you can get in the sales. You know, unfortunately, if you have transfer deadline day blog, I don't think we're going to be that team that's signing 5-6 players on the last day anymore. But I think what you're saying there is just we've got a plan. We're going to stick to our plan. We're not going to head away from the plan. But if it was me, I think you're right. I think we need someone, another striker as an alternative to Owen Doyle. We clearly now we've got two midfield spots need filling with Sheehan and Sarcevic. So we've got to sign a centre midfielder or an attacking minded one. Mm. And then you maybe look at, I know Gordon's had a great game at right back, but you do feel that like the absence of Geoffrey Jones has shown us that we maybe need someone at fullback as well. So there are spots that need filling. But I think on the whole, with our best 11, I think we've got a half-decent team at this level. So, you know, it depends what you want. Do you want squad players or do you want players to come in the first 11? Obviously, those coming in at the first 11 are going to cost a bit more than squad players.
Yeah, I think the key signings for me right now are attacking central midfielder, i.e. replacement for Sarcevic, striker, no matter what, whether it be a like-for-like Owen Doyle or a different type of striker, but somebody who is comfortable in playing that number nine role. And then I think one of the wide fullback areas, I mean, depending on Brockbank, because he's done his Achilles, how long Brockbank's going to be out for. He was cover, and I think he still is cover for Geoffrey Jones, but we don't have a recognised right back. I think Liam Gordon probably deserves to be included on the left, you know, the pile for left back with Declan John. I think that will see us through that left hand side. So I think it's right back. I think you need somebody who can play that right sided defensive role. It's unfair to stick Isgrove back there, I think, in the longer term. So that those three for me, a striker, attacking central midfielder, and right back are the absolute must haves. And then I think it's loans after that. I think you try and plug in with loans, two or three players who are just going to see out the injuries, cover for Sheehan, cover for, you know, any of the other longer terms one. If MJ Williams, for example, if he has to have surgery on his shoulder, he's going to be out till February, maybe you bring in another cover signing there. But I think the permanent ones, the ones that they're going to need and you know, kind of raise the standard for next summer, I think those three positions are for me.
Yeah, looking forward to this Saturday though. And Kachunga has said after the game the other night that Bolton can cope without Dapo. It is only a one-game suspension, but are you as confident as Kachunga is?
Well, I mean, he's saying the star at the moment is the team. He's full of little quips like that, is Elias. they played all right second half. Without Dapo being kind of front and centre, I don't think he had as much of the ball second half against Doncaster. I'm interested to see how he reshapes it, whether he brings in Delfonso, for example, whether Nathan can actually salvage something back, because he looks so lacking in confidence at the moment. I think, you know, Dapo has become so important for the way Wanderers play that it's going to be a struggle against Cheltenham. They were well organised. We know that from last season. They're not quite as direct necessarily as they were last season. They haven't got the long throw quite as much, but they're certainly a hard team to break down and will be. You know they're going to sit in and make things difficult for Bolton. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but I think Kachunga's possibly the key. I think he's the one in form. If they can get the ball to him, he looks like somebody who's willing to run at players, willing to break. He's got that bit of pace. And it's then all on whether Delfonso can be the man. Do you see that? I mean, we've been waiting. We've talked about it so many times. This is Delfonso's last chance. This is Delfonso's last chance. Surely this is the time he's got to step in and do something.
Yeah, it's frustrating with Delfonso because I felt in the Papa John's, he's done really well this year.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought in the Barnsley Cup game, he was getting into, you know, he was getting into some wide positions that opened the game up. It's just, you know, like against Stockport, it's just his when he came on, his final sort of delivery or his final cross, he just wasn't there. So, yeah, I think Delfonso, I do think this is his last opportunity. I think whether we see him after January or not will be basically if we've got players, you know, if we can get half or more back, then I think Delfonso could go. But if we haven't, then he will have to stay. But at the moment, he's not done enough for me to stay next season. So yeah, it is kind of his last chance. So we'll see if he can take it. But we have seen small glimpses. It's just not been enough. And I think that's why, you know, I think Everett showed with Sarcevic, I think you need to do more than small glimpses, because Everett's got a very, you know, he's expecting a lot from his players.
Yeah, yeah. And also, of course, we haven't mentioned Zafamichi there. I don't think that he's going to be starting against Cheltenham. He's gradually building things up, but he's only played an hour of football so far. So I think it's unfair to kind of bung him in from the start and expect him to be able to get through 60 minutes or something. I think he's going to be gradually built up. But I did like what I saw from him against Doncaster. He looks really quick. He looks direct. He looks to have that needle, that same sort of needle that Afolayan's got, that he just seems to rub defenders up the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, imagine one on one wing and one on the other wing. Frustrated fullbacks, yeah.
Right, okay, let's have a bit of Danny Shittu. Now, we're only going to allow one Danny Shittu, as we call them, per game, because last week, somebody sent me in, one of my rule adjudicators sent me in saying that you could tactically load it so that you can use cues, basically, and have the games finish really, really quickly. So what we're going to do is we're only going to allow one Danny Shittu per game.
Right.
You can change the suit once in a game. So let's limber up. Let's get the warm-ups out of the way, Henry. Do you want to serve or do you want to receive?
I'll tell you what, I'll serve with a Nathan Delfonso.
Ooh, a Nathan Delfonso and Oscar Threlkeld.
Right, that's D, isn't it? David Lee.
That's an Elias Kachunga.
Alan Thompson.
That is one of your classic N returns. I'm going to go for Nicky Summerby.
Owen Doyle. Right, okay.
You have the option of a Danny Shittu.
I'm going to hold off. I'm going to save my Danny Shittu.
Save the Shittu. Okie dokie. We're going to go for Ethan Hamilton.
Okay, and Nathan Blake.
And that's back to E. It's just a classic forward and return. I'm going to go for Emil Heskey.
Oh, why? Yuri Djorkaeff.
I'm going to go for Freddie Hill.
Liam Trotter.
That's an R. I'm going to go... do you know what? The same person said that I always go for the same person when I go for R. So I'm going to try and think of somebody different very, very quickly. I'm going to go for Raddy Jardy.
Oh, aye.
Yes.
Ivan Klasnic.
I'm going to go for Craig Dawson.
We've got an N. I'm going to go with Nicholas Anelka.
Oh, that is a beauty. I'm going to go for Andy Taylor.
I'm going to go Ricardo Gardner, but I'm going to save my Danny Shittu.
Oof, right, okay. I'm going to go for Rhys Greenwich.
Oh, that's E.
I
always go for this man. Never saw him play, obviously, but Eddie Hopkinson.
The problem with this game is it flits between E and N so often. But I'm going to go for Neil McNabb to shake things up there.
I'm going to go for Brian Small.
Brian Small, that is an absolute beaut. I love it when we get like really off-cut ones. I'm going to go for Les Ferdinand.
Oh, back to D. I'm going to go for Derek Asidi.
Oof, back on E. I'm going to go for Ernie Pythian, my classic.
The great Ernie Pythian. That's an N, isn't it?
That is an N, yeah.
Right, I'm going to go for... I was going to say Nobby Nolan, but that doesn't count.
No,
nicknames do not count. N, right, okay, I've said Nicholas and Elton. Neil Watmore.
Neil Watmore, and you can bring me back to an E again. I have been keeping one up my sleeve, but I'm going to go El Hadj Juff. Doesn't get used enough in this game.
No. Frank Worthington.
And another one that does not get used enough, but he does bring me back to N, which I hate. No, what was I thinking? Oh, Nicky Brookman. That's a shit-o. That's a shit-o, and I'm going to throw you at O. And I've already had Threlkeld.
Oh, Oladapo Athelion.
Git. That teaches me. I'm going to go for Neil Fisher.
Oh, that's an R.
Striker from the 90s.
Ricky Shakes.
Oh, the beautiful Ricky Shakes. I'm going to go for Salva Ballester.
Oh, one of the famous Big Sam Loan signings that didn't quite work.
I can still see his face.
I'm going to go with Andy Walker.
Andy Walker. Come on, I can do it. I'm going to go for Ray Parry. The legendary Ray Parry. Now you've
I'm going to go for the other Y. Yeah, I've had Yuri Djorkaeff. I'm going to go for Yannick Wiltshire.
That's a T for me. We've not had many of them, have we? I'm going to go for Tadeusz Nowak.
Kevin Nolan.
Yay! There we go. now, we did have Nat Lofthaus at the very beginning, so I'm going to go Neil Cox.
Then it's got to be Xavi Michi.
It is. That means the X is now. It's impossible.
Yeah.
But anyway, Ian Marshall.
L is Luke Murphy.
Oh, hang on a minute. Johan Zuma. That now expends the Y. Y is now dead, I think. I can't think
right,
of the Y.
Hey. I'm trying to think of an A with the guy's last name as being Y. But I've not got the time. I need to just throw an A out there. I'm going to go with
A.
Andy Taylor.
That's a repeat. That's a repeat. I've actually finally managed to catch a repeat. I said Andy Taylor ages ago.
Oh, we've been playing for that long.
I've done it.
Oh wow, that was the longest rally I think we've ever had.
That is ridiculous. I think we expended all the X's, and I'm pretty sure there are only three players that start with a Y.
Yeah.
So you've got Yannick, Yuri, and Johan Zuma. If anybody knows of any other players that start with a Y, please tell me, because you could save this game. there's certain letters where there are only a few.
Yeah, we're fighting for Q, to get you on a Q, an X, or a Y.
It's getting like Scrabble. It's getting like world class Scrabble now. It's very tactical.
Quentin Fortune is double points.
Quade Taylor is the other Q.
Of course.
There are two Qs, and there is one X. I really do. Whatever they buy in January, I just hope they start with Qs and Xs.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a word with Chris Markham. That's what we need to start doing. Buying Qs, yeah. Xs and Zs.
They keep the cards quite close to the chest, but if they're listening to Danny Shitsu and they use us as a marker for who to sign, I think we've got a few problems there, Matt.
Yeah, we are restricting our market somewhat. Okay. Well, listen, I was lucky enough to have a chat with Mark Patterson earlier this week, talking about his new book and the fact that he is going to be at Bolton Central at 1 o'clock on Saturday before the Cheltenham Town game, signing copies, selling copies of his new book, which is called Old School. Great to catch up with Paddy. Here's a little chat with him. And ladies and gentlemen, we have got a very special guest on the Buff this week here to talk about not only his new book, but also the fact that he's coming to the game this Saturday to do some signing and to do some selling. I've got Mark Paddy Patterson. How you doing, fella?
I'm great, Mark. Thanks very much. How are you, buddy?
Not three bad at all, but speaking to you. Right, I mean, tell us a bit about this book then, because I'm hoping there's plenty of wanderers in there.
Well, absolutely, yeah, because obviously that was the best time of my career. There's a lot of stories in there and what have you. But it came about many years ago. I was sat in a pub with a few of my mates. They're just talking about old stories. And there were Bolton fans, one or two of these lads. And one of them turned around to me and said, listen, why don't you do a book? And I said, well, I can't do a book. You know, I ain't got it in me. So it turns out Kevin O'Hara, who's the co-author with me, he brought his own book out a few years ago. It's like a novel, if you will. It's called Tell Someone. So I read his book and it was a cracking read. And so, you know, we proceeded on to put mine together, and it's just come to fruition recently.
I think anybody that listened to your Under the Cosh a few weeks back will know that there's some cracking tales in there. You know, there'll be a few fewer expletives, I'd imagine, or does this carry an age certificate?
Well, I'll be honest with you, no, it's I'd say maybe 12 ups.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, yeah, there's a lot of the stories in there, and to be honest with you, on the podcast, I mean, yeah, it was a little bit blue, what have you, a bit over 18-ish, but there's a lot of stories that actually I didn't get a chance to talk about on the podcast. There's much more in the book. So it's, you know, it's pretty much a book. It's just not all stats and what have you. There's a few good tales in there.
Aye, exactly. Well, I mean, you played for some cracking managers. And like, as you say, like the centre point of your career seems to have been coming through that white hot team at Bolton. Fair to say it was your best times?
Yeah. Yeah, just short of 5 years down at Burnham Park. Educational with Bruce and Toddy. You know, I mean, it were, and then the experience we had of all the cup runs and what have you, the success. Great bunch of lads. The only one thing that I'd probably say was, if you will, I suppose, level me out really, it's just that because of the educational stuff that Bruce enforced onto us and installed into us, which we bought and you know, we took it on board. It's just that there weren't as many socials as what you'd normally have, you know, in comparison to when I were at Blackburn, Sheffield United. But having said that, I mean, there were socials with Bruce, but they were managed very well by him. But you'd forget about all that sort of stuff for the success that we had with him. It was a tremendous 5 years.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting listening to you talk about the way that Bruce changed things around there. Oh, crikey, it sounded like somebody was dead then.
Well, it's my stepdaughter's 16th birthday today, and I think my dog's just attacked one of my balloons.
Oh, many happy returns. Good grief. Well, it's some live action on the buff. Listen, you're coming down to the Uniball on Saturday to see folk and to get some books signed. Tell us all about it. Where are you going to be and what time?
Well, I'm going down the shop for about 1 o'clock.
Yep.
I'll be there till 2:30. I think they've got quite a few books in the store, so I think you'll be able to buy books in the store. Mm. And I'm there, so just, you know, if you want it signing, by all means, I'll sign it for you. Pictures, whatever. I'm just happy and I'm grateful for the club to invite me down there and put my book on the shelves.
No, absolutely fantastic. And otherwise, where is it available to buy? You can buy it from the club shop, obviously, but is it readily available in the towns as well?
Yeah, WH Smith is selling it. It's also available on Amazon, although it's currently not available because it's selling out. It's going out that quick.
Oh, get you.
I'm not blowing my own trumpet here, but you know, what I would say is be patient because there's more books going there weekly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think there's the Vertical Editions, which is the company that published the book for me, based in Sheffield. Mm. If you just look up Vertical Editions, they've published it, and you can buy it direct from them also.
Fantastic. Well, listen to that, Bolton Wanderers fans. If you are in the mood for a Christmas present, I can't think of a better one. And get yourself down there on Saturday, 1 o'clock, Bolton Central. Go and meet Mark Patterson. Get your book signed. And make your dad or yourself very, very happy. I will see you down there, Mark.
Brilliant. Okay, Mike, appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Take it easy. Thanks, mate.
Cheers, Paul.
And there we go. 1 o'clock, Bolton Central. Get yourself down there. Buy a copy of his book. I think it's £11.99. Get it signed. Have a chat with Paddy. Talk about the old the Burnden days. Great lad, and his book is selling out really well as well. So, fingers crossed that continues for him. Be a good Christmas present, Henry. Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah, it will. I think there'll be a few people I'll be buying one for, so I might head down early on Saturday, and it'll be like a conveyor belt of, right, I need this for this person. Can you sign this for this person? I wonder how many times he'll get asked to say sorry for the pass back against Oldham.
Yeah, that's a good shout, actually. Yeah, yeah. you'll be able to loiter outside the hotel and see if Lloyd Disgrove can sign your other sock as well, so you can get a pair.
Yeah, maybe that will that'll heal him. Maybe it's the healing powers of the fact that I've only got one sock signed and he's the other one.
Right, okay, we've done Danny Shittu, an extended Danny Shittu, by the way, but now we're going to bring back our second game. It was quite good last week, I think it worked. So we're going to call it Squad Game. Right, so what we do is that me and Henry are both going to pick out a season from 1996-97 onwards. So each season has got a Wikipedia page. And on that Wikipedia page, there is a big chunk of statistics with all the squad numbers, all the games, all the goals and the yellow cards and the red cards that each player has got. So we've each totally independently picked out a season for each other. And then we're also going to pick out a number between 1 and 70. Okay, so the idea is, just like blackjack, we have to name three independent statistics, adds up as close to the number that we give each other. Does that make sense, Henry?
It does.
It makes more sense when you listen to us play it. So it kind of worked last week. Let's give it another go. So this season, Henry, and I'm not going to say you tell me your one first. I'm going to go with my one first. Okay. So I have picked out for you the 2012-13 season, which is to put it into context, it was the first season in the Championship under Owen Coyle and then Dougie Friedman.
Right.
And very briefly Jimmy Phillips in between. So that's your season. And I want you, with your three cards, or you can have, you know, you can, like in real blackjack, you can stick on two if you want to. I want you to add up to 55. So you've 2012-13 season. Give it your best shot.
Right, okay. So I'm going to go with 55. I'm going to go with the amount of games Kevin Davis played for us, which I think he didn't play many at the end, did he? So I think that'll get me into the 20s.
Right.
Then I'm going to choose, I'm trying to think who was, then I think the amount of goals Chris Eagle scored, which, if memory serves me right, was the magic 12.
Right.
So that could get me then into the late 30s.
That gives you, yeah, okay, yeah. One more are you going to stick, or are you going to go for another one?
No, I'm going to go for another one. So to get to 55, I think I need about 20.
Go on.
So I'm going to go for,
score numbers, you can go appearances, yellow cards, goals.
Yeah. I'm going to go for the amount of, I'm going to go back to games, and I'm going to go for the amount of games that,
this is quite tense.
Let's see, 20. I'm going to go for the amount of games that Chung Yung Lee played.
Chung Yung Lee, now he was coming back from his injury, wasn't he, at that stage of the game? Right, okay. Would you like to know how you got on? Okay,
yes.
So your first one was Kevin Davis, how many games he played. Kevin Davis played 38 times that season.
Oh, right, okay, I was miles out.
Your second one was Chris Eagles. You rightly said 12 goals, that is correct. So that put you on 50. Somehow I started trying to lean in to make you freeze there. I don't know why I did that, but never mind. But then you said we wanted to add on Lee Chung-yong, as he's listed here, Chung-yong Lee, his games that season, and he played 44 games that season.
Did he?
44 games. Geez. So you have bust so incredibly that you have been laughed out of the casino. You know, I can win this basically by just naming one thing, but I'm gonna enter there into the spirit of it. What season have I got?
Well, because we beat Doncaster, and laid to rest when we decided not to turn up. I decided to do the season that we didn't turn up against them. So it's the 2019-2020 season. Not one of the best in Bolton's lifetime.
Yeah. Right.
So
what number have I got?
You have got. I'm gonna go with. I was gonna go really quite high, but I think I need you to bust, don't I? So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go 51.
51. Right. Okay. So the three metrics. I'm gonna call them metrics because that makes it sound important. I'm gonna go with. Right. I mean, I've got to just keep everything low, haven't I? I can't lose if I keep everything low. I'm going to go for the number of games that Thibaut Verlinden played.
Okay.
That's the first one. Because I think he played about 20 games. I'm going to try and, you know, enter into the spirit and get somewhere near. I don't want to just pick, you know, three goalkeepers and say how many goals they scored. So I'm going to go Thibaut Verlinden's games. I'm going to go Chris O'Grady's goals, which I think he scored about three. So I think that puts me at about 23 or 24. And then I'm going to go for... Now let's have a think. I don't want to go anywhere near Remy Matthews because he's basically just played every single game. I want to pick a player that's just kind of flitted around the edges. I'm going to go for the number of games that Luke Murphy played added on top of that. So if,
right, okay.
Where does that put me?
Okay, so your target is 51.
Yeah.
So Thibaut Verlinden, before he was recalled in January, played 17 games for us.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
12 in the league and then the rest... 15 in the league and then the rest in cup games. Chris O'Grady scored the... you were close with three. It was actually four he scored.
He was prolific. Let's just not forget.
So that put you on 21.
Yeah.
So that meant you had to get less than 30.
Yeah.
Luke Murphy played a grand total that season of 32 games.
Oh, absolute unbelievable scenes. Unbelievable.
So you've bust by two.
That is shocking. That is shocking. Well, we both bust. That's the only consolation I can take from that. But that, see, if I were just pragmatic, the problem is I'm too much of an entertainer. That is my issue.
Yeah.
Too much of an entertainer. I'm very much Squid Games Ricardo Vazte.
Yeah, you are. But I mean, looking down this list, some of these players that we had that I've just forgotten all about. Brandon Fleming, remember him?
Brandon Fleming, yeah.
Yeah. You could have. In Siala from Ipswich, we had Jacob Mellis for a bit. Anthony Gregoru, or whatever he's called, from Tottenham.
Oh, Georgie, yeah. Did he even play?
He played twice. We had Joe Dodu, who we saw the other night. We had Jake Wright, Adam Chickson, remember him? A disaster when we let him go.
Yeah, that was like everybody was up in arms, weren't they? Adam Chickson went. That was Bolton's greatest left back.
Yeah, exactly. James Weir, Josh Earle. We definitely had. There were some names. To be honest, some of them names I'm surprised you remembered, because if you'd have given me that one, I wouldn't have remembered many.
That will be, they will be quiz questions in the future. The likes of Josh Earle and Joe Dodu and people like that, they will be really tough quiz questions on the Buff in some stage in the future. Talking about quiz, by the way, we are formulating a Christmas quiz again this season. So I will be putting some more details out about that on social media pretty soon. But we're going to try and rustle up a couple of teams rather than doing it individually this year. I think we're going to be looking at maybe doing things slightly differently and building up a couple of teams. Right, okay, before we go, let's talk about the Cheltenham game, Henry. Not only the Cheltenham game, actually, but also next Tuesday, before we get out again next Friday, there'll be a Papa John's Trophy game. Now, in current circumstances, I mean, first of all, you've got to get a team through Cheltenham. I don't think we'll even bother picking the team like we'd normally do, because it basically picks itself.
Yeah.
But can you even think about the Papa John's? It seemed quite important a couple of weeks ago, but now all of a sudden it seems to have shuffled back in the pack.
Yeah, it's a shame, really, because I really wanted us to do well in that tournament. I think the Ian Everett did as well. So it's a shame that that's come at this time, you know, where, yeah, you're right. I think if you had the option of resting players and getting some players fit again or playing a full team, you're gonna pick the farmer. But I don't know really what he does in that one, to be honest. If you Fleetwood, I think there are rules, aren't there, that you got to play a certain amount of your team. I guess Dapo would have had a week off, so you'd think he might play. That might be a game where Amici can start and give him a first start. But yeah, other than that, you're thinking, well, do you really want to risk some players? But no, we've got to do Cheltenham first, and we'll see how we are after that, because we could be even more, touch wood we not, but we could be even more depleted.
A lot of people saying about our loans, by the way, and I think it's important to put this, Bolton Wanderers cannot recall Dennis Politic at this moment in time until January. They can't do it, okay? And they can't recall Ronan Darcy, as things stand, until after the weekend. They're currently... it's the last game of the regular season at Songdal. So Darcy, if they don't make the playoffs, will come back straight away. But if they make the playoffs, he's still on loan there. So he will only come back once they have finished the playoff campaign. Now, that could be mid-December, as far as, you know, if they go all the way. Obviously, it'll be great when he does come back, but I don't expect him to come back before then. From what I gather, there's only a couple of the youth teamers that are really anywhere near being able to play senior football. Pettifer and Henry have done pretty well. We've seen a little bit of them in the Papa John's and, you know, and in the Central League this season, they've looked okay. But it's such a big step up. You can't just go throwing kids in for the sake of it. We've seen that happen at Bolton before. Now we know how destructive it can be. So, I think I would like to see senior back if that is possible. Hopefully we can bottom that out today by speaking to Evo, and I should have some more in the paper on that one for you. But, I mean, honestly, Henry, if you've got a decent pair of boots, mate, get yourself down there. You've got every chance.
Yeah, it seems like it at the moment. Mark Patterson might be playing if he's already in the vicinity. But, it's unprecedented, in it, and it's... it'll be part of a season that we'll look back at laugh at the end, hopefully. But for now, it's just a free throw. But I think you're right. I think you can't be thrilled, because I looked at Pettifer and Henry, and they're good players when they've come on. But I looked at them warming up against Stockport away, and they look like kids. Yeah. They look like they had actually picked out some kids from the stage, from the stand. So they'll obviously, you know, grow into the young lads. They'll grow into men and hopefully be great players for this football club. But at the moment, you know, Cheltenham last year had a bit of a reputation of being a bit of a physical team. They've probably taken... I'd not watched Cheltenham, so I don't know if they've taken it into... this season, especially with Ben Tozer leaving, but you can't be throwing kids in, because against some defenders in League One, they'll just bounce off them.
We saw that season that you made me relive in squad game earlier. The some of the earlier season games, that Ipswich and the Tranmere. Oh God, it was terrible watching the young lads go out there knowing they were going to get absolutely hammered. But you don't want that to happen again. So I think personally that he will name pretty much the same team that plays against Cheltenham as does on Fleetwood. They've got a weekend after, weekend off after that. Is that right? It should be the FA Cup second round, shouldn't it?
It should, yeah. And with hindsight, that's actually... so it was all worth losing to Stockport in the end.
It was a grand plan, of course. It was a grand plan. Goodness me, why didn't I even think of that? But anyway, so yeah, we'll have an interesting week that week. So I might book myself a Premier Inn down in London, get some partying done. Happy days, right? That is all we have got time for this week. It's been a packed out show. Thank you very much to Mark Patterson for coming on and having a chat with us earlier. Thank you very much again, Henry, obviously, as normal. But instead of doing a haiku or instead of doing a limerick to see out the show, I thought there was only one way we could really finish things this week. David Wheater singing Disco 2000. I've been Mark Isles.
I've been Henry Hewitt.
And this is not Jarvis Cocker.
Oh, we were born within an hour of each other. Our mother said we could be sister and brother. Your name is Deborah. Deborah. It never suited you. And they said that when we grew up, we'll get married and never split up. Oh, we never did it. Although I often thought of it. But Deborah, do you recall? Your house was very small, with wood chip on the wall. When I came round to call, you didn't notice me at all. And I said, let's all meet up in the year 2000. Won't it be strange when we're all fully grown? Be there 2 o'clock by the fountain down the road. And that's it, my mate.